Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
The Killer Bees!
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Ooh, what up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
He's Blank, I'm Branham, it is Brian behind the glass, and it is a Monday edition of The Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and on ESPN 92.5. Busy show, always busy on a Monday. Thoughts on C.J. Stroud, Mailbag Monday, I Believe, what do you believe in after the college football weekend? And we hand out game balls on Monday. For those around the league that deserve said game balls. Texans go into Foxborough yesterday. They go into Gillette. They dominate. They beat the Patriots by 20. They improved to 5-1 for just the second time in franchise history. What's your biggest takeaway from that win yesterday?
My biggest takeaway is just first and foremost that was one that they need an easy game that they needed to get. They've been in a lot of tight games this entire year. I think what they were 4-0 in one score games. But they needed a kind of a cakewalk game, a game where they got right in a lot of areas, and they did. They got right with the offensive line. They got right with the running game. They got right with not having Nico Collins. I just like the fact that I was never really deeply concerned about the game getting out of hand or being too close, and they did what they were supposed to do to a bad football team.
That's really what my main takeaway is, too. Like, this is what you're supposed to do. If you're one of the better teams in the NFL, if you're in the upper echelon of top teams in the NFL, if you're a team that has aspirations of making a deep postseason run, this is what you do to bad football teams that are playing rookie quarterbacks. You go in and you come back with a laugher. You go into to the opposing stadium and you blow them out. You come away with a 20-point win. You show everybody that, look, we're not going to mess around with this team. And yeah, it's a little closer at halftime than you would have liked. We'll get to that in a minute. Do not ignore in victory what you wouldn't in defeat. But at the end of the day, you win by 20 points. You come home with a 20-point win. Davis Mills was playing snaps late in the game. You're able to sit your starters, which credit to D'Amico Ryans learning his lesson by sitting his starters in garbage time. I respect that from D'Amico Ryans, learning from his errors, learning from his mistakes. I respect that, D'Amico. But this is what good teams do. You're playing a bad team. You win by 20. You rest your starters late. We were asking people what they needed to see from the Texans on Sunday, and a lot of people said, hey, I want to see Davis Mills get snaps. Davis Mills got snaps yesterday. This is exactly what they had to do to, again, prove to everybody, not that it matters a whole lot, but to prove to everybody that, yes, they are upper echelon of the NFL.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, if you go just around offense, defense, special teams, and obviously the special teams, the missed field goal was something that you didn't expect to see because of the fact that Kiami's been so good. But from a defensive standpoint, too, we wanted to see the defensive ends get right. We wanted to see those guys kind of show what they've been, you know, what they've everybody hoped they would be all season long. And Will Anderson had, you know, just a massive game. And look, Hunter was, he had a sack. He looked very good. The interior defensive line looked fairly good throughout the game. So I think that if you go across the board, and especially playing without your other corner, all facets of the game looked like that they were better than the Patriots. They did what they were supposed to do to kind of prove that and make sure that that game was never at chance late in the game.
Yeah, if you want to dissect it into certain elements of the game of where the Texans look good, I think there's one lead story on both sides of the football. And on the defensive side of the football, you nailed it with Will Anderson. We've been waiting for and Will Anderson's had a bunch of really good games. Don't get it twisted. He's had a bunch of really good games, but he hasn't had the game that he had yesterday. He only played 33 snaps in yesterday's game. He played 33 snaps and had a sack on 3 of those 33 plays. That's insane. Like the ratio for that is out of this world. And then he was doing other things whenever he wasn't sacking the quarterback. He was a havoc. The offensive line was having to pay extra attention to him, chipping him, tight end, all of that stuff. And then he deflects a pass that Eric Murray was able to intercept off the tight end's back. So if you've been waiting around for like the Will Anderson game, the Will Anderson moment where he establishes himself as one of the best defensive ends in the entire NFL. And yes, he did it against the Patriots. Yes, he did it against a rookie quarterback. But this was the Will Anderson game. Oh, we need Will Anderson to stop almost getting to the quarterback. Well, yesterday, he imposed his will, Anderson, on the game with three sacks. Three sacks and 33 snaps is incredible.
Yeah, when you talk about, like you said, not just the sacks, but, you know, the tipped passes, the tackles for loss, the activity across the entire defensive line, tracking down running backs, the pressures as well. That was the kind of game that I think he needed, because I think he's been a little frustrated in the fact that he hasn't gotten the kind of results at the end of plays where I think he has been, you know, busting his tail to try and make plays. And I think Hunter needed it too. And I think that maybe this is where they start to kind of get off and show more throughout the rest of the season, hopefully. But that was definitely from a pass rush standpoint. We kept saying, you don't just want to see pressures. You want to see them get home. We saw them get home yesterday. And those times when they got home, they made a difference.
Mario Edwards has been suspended 4 games. Mario Edwards has been suspended 4 games for violating the NFL substance abuse policy. So, had a good game yesterday. He was all over the place. A little breaking news that isn't the best of news. Mario Edwards has been suspended 4 games. Danico Autry suspended 6, getting him back this week. He's just going to take the spot of Mario Edwards, who's been suspended for 4 games now. Now, I think that you can survive this. Like, you have other defensive tackles. How much Autry plays defensive tackle early downs, I don't know. I don't
Might
think that
more
this
now.
Is maybe. Well, I mean, you still have Foley, you still have Settle. Davis has been in the mix. Heinisch has been, they've activated his window to return. That he's not returned yet. So you actually have some depth there. This isn't the worst news in the world. You rather have Edwards than not have Edwards. But you can survive this.
Oh, I don't know what the substance was, but everybody was saying that, you know, they thought that he was over the hill, and then suddenly he found the fountain of youth this year from training camp on, and he's been effective since he's been out there. Let's hope that had nothing to do with it. But yeah, this, you know, the one thing that you do have to wonder is we expect Autry to be back, right? But DJ was telling us.
Yeah, there was reports yesterday after the game, though, that he's healthy and will be helping. And I think D'Amico mentioned it today in his press conference, too.
Okay, good. Because that's the one thing you don't want to do is lose both, have one guy not be able to come back when you're losing a guy that has been good like he was last week. So yeah, overall, as much as I question what they were doing on the interior defensive line in the offseason because of who they let get away or traded away and they wanted to upgrade from, as D'Amico and Nick had talked about in the offseason, those guys, they've been holding their own. They've been doing what they're supposed to do, and now hopefully Autry gives you a kind of a different element that he can bring to the table.
This reads different to me than a PED thing for Mario Edwards, because I just pulled it up because I read this from Ari on Twitter. Texans, NFL league office, Texans Edwards suspended 4 games for violating NFL substances of abuse policy. So four games, not 6 games. D'Amico
right.
Autry got 6 games. And then I pulled up whenever D'Amico Autry got suspended. It says for violating NFL's performance-enhancing drug policy. For Mario Edwards, it says for violating NFL substances of abuse policy. So I don't think Mario Edwards was doing performance-enhancing drugs. I think he just likes a good time.
Yeah, this is more
is what
hard
it comes down
party
to.
Drug than it is performance enhancing.
It's a party in the end zone. There was a lot of touchdowns yesterday, and Mario Edwards was crossing the line with the party in the end zone.
Maybe that's a good thing, because then it wasn't the fact that his performance was.
Yeah, I would say
well,
so.
As long as it's not something that happens throughout the year that, you know, becomes habitual. I think we'll take that side of it.
I think it's good in two fronts. One, it's a shorter suspension, 4 games versus 6. And then secondly, yeah, it's not his performance that was being enhanced, at least on that list of drugs.
Right.
I mean, we're certainly gatekeeping Mario Edwards here. But yeah, so I don't think this was PED related. It was a little bit of liking a good time. Mm-hmm. For Mario Edwards. So that's interesting there. But back to the game yesterday, Will Anderson was fantastic. the overall line on Will Anderson yesterday, 8 sacks, eight tackles, three sacks. He had four tackles for loss. He hit the quarterback three times. He deflected the pass that led to the interception. Yesterday was the Will Anderson game that everybody's been waiting for. So that was really good to see. And then, yes, you're right, Danielle Hunter also, you know, sacking Drake May, forcing the fumble. What really impressed me on that play, yes, just the, you know, the rush and chopping up the right tackle and juking him and getting around him. But also he brings down May, and he had the realization that the ball popped free, and he's, like, trying to crawl for the football. Like, it just showed really good awareness. It didn't matter because he didn't recover the football. But I was impressed by that. Get to the quarterback, sack, you strip him so the ball's loose, and then having the presence of mind to, like, try to at least chase after the ball. I thought that was cool to see.
Yeah, I thought both guys, in terms of their activity, even when they didn't get sacks or pressures, I thought that there were multiple times when they hit the running back before the running back got to the line of scrimmage, where they were coming completely down the line of scrimmage to help make plays and contribute to plays, not necessarily in the passing game. So I thought that both guys really took advantage, whether it was who they were playing or not, but really took advantage of the moment. And I thought they were extremely active all game long.
Yeah, defensive line looked really good. We'll take your thoughts on it. We got more thoughts on it as well. 713-780-ESPN. Busy show. We won't ignore in victory what we would in defeat. We'll get to some of the areas that we have to be critical of the Texans. We have to do that. We'll grade C.J. Stroud a little bit later. I believe, what do you believe after the college football weekend? Mailbag Monday, much, much more. A Monday edition of the Killer Bee. 713-780-3776. We're on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. On YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitter, ESPN975. Blankers at Pac-Man Joel. I'm at Jeremy Branham. It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, guys, a minute for Allstate Siding and Windows. They're the best in the business at both siding, windows. They do front doors as well, but they are fantastic, and they've been in business for almost 50 years, family-owned and operated. They handle everything the way you would expect from almost a trusted friend. They want to take care of Houstonians. Mary, she takes care of everything at the office. Her brother, he takes care of the estimates that are free, by the way, when he gets out to see what you got going on. And they love ESPN 97.5 and helping our listeners. They're doing it again right now. They've got 30% off all the windows. They got $2,500 off a complete siding job. Those free estimates is how the process starts. Just have them come out to your house. Tell them you've been considering doing either one or both, and they'll walk you through what they can do, what would be right for you and your house, and then walk you through the prices and everything that's needed. I had them come to my house. They put in new windows. They did a phenomenal job, and they knew exactly what windows to pick because it upped the curb appeal of the house when you pull up to the front door. But more so than that, the energy savings is phenomenal. We saved about 32, 34% on our energy bills over the first several months with the windows being in. That's during the really dog days of summer. We're anxious to see how that's going to calculate all year long, but they make a difference. And they're also storm protectors. When we know how bad hurricane season can be here, they protect you from the elements. It's the hurricane season. It's the excessive heat. It's those times when it gets cold. The windows, the siding, they do exactly what they are supposed to do. Check them out today. Get that free estimate. Just call them 832-204-1936. 832-204-1936, or check out all their products, allstatesidingandwindows.com.
ESPN 97.5.
You found the Killer Bees, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
716-9409 Josh. So this isn't a Cushing effect, question mark? Is Cushing still working with the team? Cushing is no longer working with the team. You can find them at Little League ballparks throughout the city, though. But no longer working with the team. And we do know that Cushing had some issues in his past. Now, Cushing's was PED. This is not PED. This is illegal substance banned by the NFL. And we know that they don't test for marijuana anymore. So guess the drug that Mario Edwards was using. 713-780-3776. What drug do you think Mario Edwards has been banned for?
What's the Vegas favorite? What's the Killer Bee favorite? We want to go there?
Not knowing the exact list of what is banned, other than, you know, marijuana is not. I'm going to go with a little bit of...
booger sugar?
Percocet.
Oh, Percocet. Okay.
No, I'm going to go a little booger sugar.
Yeah. That's the way I would lean.
Yeah, I think it's... I think that's the easy choice. I mean, we could be wrong.
It's probably the betting favorite.
Maybe... Maybe it's a wrongful. Maybe it was a wrong test. You know, we shouldn't be throwing out these words about Mario Edwards.
I didn't want to, but at the same time, we didn't say it. Just it might be the betting favorite.
Yeah, I mean, he did test positive. We do that. What drug did Mario Edwards test positive for? 713-780-3776. You don't get this stuff at the flagship.
No,
I guarantee you, there is zero chance right now that the Baytown baddie in the show are asking you, the listener, 713-780-3776, what drug Mario Edwards tested positive for.
Because they're saving it for Texans Radio. They're going to let Johnny and Vandy handle that
one. Oh, yeah, and they're going to dive deep into that one.
Yeah, I guarantee you that's not
Texas
happening.
Texas Radio, 2 hours of that tonight.
Guess the drug. 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Chad, what drug do you think it was?
I'm going to go with Adderall.
Oh, is that banned? Is Adderall banned?
Oh, I think so.
Why? Appreciate the call, Chad. That's probably a really good guess. If it is indeed banned, how is Adderall banned, though? What is one with ADHD supposed to do like yours truly?
But I think that there are medical exceptions, but I think I've heard in the past, I believe, and maybe I'm wrong.
I think you're right, Joel. I think it is banned unless, like you said, you have a medical exception.
Really?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's accurate.
Something as silly as Adderall would be on the banned substance list. But wouldn't that be performance enhancing?
I thought that would be too.
I think that would be performance enhancing. Yeah, I don't think that would be a substances of abuse policy.
Okay. All right, yeah, I mean...
You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, if they say that it kind of really focuses you and dials you in and you don't have anything, then, yeah, I guess it would be performance enhancing.
This is whenever we need an intern to... okay, I pulled it up. Here are some things. Oh, no, it does include Adderall. Adderall is on this
So even
this
if you have ADD?
Well, I don't know of that, but it says the substances tested for... That would be under this one, cocaine, synthetic marijuana. So you can do the real stuff, just not the synthetic marijuana.
You can do the organic.
Yeah, they want you to, you know, Whole Foods. It's a big deal in 2024.
Not the processed marijuana.
Amphetamines, including Adderall. PCP.
Naturally.
That would be a tough one to play football on, I think. Opioids. Opiates, so you know, just your, you know, your run of the mill opes, MDMA, which is ecstasy and Molly.
Mm-hmm.
So those would be more of the party drugs. Apparently, I didn't know they were called MDMA.
Apparently, Richard Sherman about a decade ago said half the league was doing Adderall. So maybe that was something the NFL cracked down upon between now and then.
I wonder why though. Like it seems like Adderall is pretty innocent. I know it was big in baseball, amphetamines and Adderall and the greenies and all that stuff.
Get up for the day game after the night game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I also want to say that for a while there, guys were that were on other things too, but guys were using it so that because they would never sleep, and so they were using it like in for team meetings and things so that they could refocus and like be awake.
Yeah, for sure, That's that. I mean, that's the main purpose of it.
But I'm saying guys that were on other things that were like going on all nighters and things,
little upper downer type of situation. Yeah. I don't know what side of the Adderall would be. Like, I guess that'd be an upper. Because that kind of gets your focus and you're kind of wired. Yeah. Layered. Have you ever done Adderall?
It wouldn't be a PED if it was a downer.
I took an Adderall once in high school. It was...
did it work?
Oh, yeah.
Did you sleep?
I took it like in the like around 10 or 11 a.m. I think there was like a test or something and I was trying to be laser. My focus was through the roof.
Really?
Yeah, but it was probably too much. Probably too much. Like if I was on Adderall now, I would be intense, hardcore... Like, go, 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 go. Like, it really had a big effect.
It ramps you up.
How long does it keep? I mean, you know, like when they
probably
say caffeine,
a few hours.
Like 4 or 5 hours, but is it longer than that?
Maybe about 6 hours or so. Maybe about 6 hours. Like, if you want to get some stuff done, though, I would highly recommend.
Is this a Branham live feed for
Adderall? If you're trying to get stuff done, I would highly recommend Adderall.
Jeremy Branham here for Adderall.
But I do have ADHD, so like it might affect me different than
But they say
others.
College campuses, like that's with tests and cramming and all that.
For sure.
It's massive.
Yeah. Took a Sudafed and tested positive for meth. Meth is in Sudafed.
Yeah, there's a reason why they take your license when you buy stuff like that and limit you to buying it ever so often. Because, you can use that to make meth.
Adderall is just amphetamines, that is all. But it is illegal. It is illegal. Adderall can give you energy. It, like, hypes you up. Yeah, thank you. It's what I was saying. Apparently, someone texted and says it is Adderall confirmed. So
there goes
our fun on which illegal substance Mario Edwards used that got him on the 4-game suspension list. Texter said opioids, and then Aaron Mid-County said booger sugar / Colombian espresso. Okay. All right, let's get to the as much fun as we can have with Mario Edwards here. We haven't got to the lead story on the offensive side. The return of Joe Mixon. You bring back Joe and Dameon Pierce for that. I mean, Dameon Pierce was pretty good. The return of Joe Mixon. The running game all of a sudden looked very good yesterday.
It did. And you know, it's encouraging that it was the entire offensive line. I think we kind of knew that, again, you're playing a team that's not the greatest defensive line. But at the same time, the fact that you had multiple backs that were able to break off big runs and look very positive makes it look fantastic. I mean, the passing game and the running game. And what I liked is what we talked about last week at the end of the week. We don't need to see Joe Mixon on a hellbent, get every carry that you possibly can, play every series kind of situation. They did a really good job of kind of making sure that he didn't do too much in terms of too many carries. But when he touched it, the impact was fantastic. His shake was back. They even mentioned it on the telecast about, you know, and it was on one where it was just a straightaway run, that the ankle didn't look like it was bothering him. What was really more noticeable was when he was, you know, cutting and hitting the hole and then changing directions, he looked fantastic.
I thought it was great to see the return of Joe Mixon. You can see how much impact he has to this offense and in the running game. I will hesitate because the Patriots' defense is not very good, and people were arguing on Twitter, oh, they're pretty good. No, they're not. It's like, if you think the Patriots are good defensively, you still think that they're the Bill Belichick defenses whenever they were winning Super Bowls. They came into yesterday's game 24th in yards given up, and they were 27th in defensive DVOA. It has dropped even further today. So the Patriots aren't good defensively. That said, I am encouraged about the running attack. It has looked much better, yesterday, and I think that like the biggest tell was also that Dameon Pierce looked all right. Like, yeah, even if you take away the big run that Dameon Pierce had yesterday, that long touchdown run of 54 yards, even Dameon Pierce looked better than he had looked before the injury. So you can see that the offensive line is slowly, I'm not even going to say but surely, but slowly trying to and starting to figure some things out.
Yeah, when you watch Pierce, it was like, early on, it looked like the same old Dameon Pierce. It was like he was just, you know, running straight into the line where the hole was supposed to be. If it wasn't there, he just didn't look like, he was kind of using any shiftiness or delaying a little bit. And then all of a sudden, it's like a light went on a couple series in, and then suddenly he didn't have to hit the only hole that was there. He was creating other opportunities. Then he broke off the big run, because that one where it was like a first down and he ran it right up the back of the guard and then jumped. And it's like, you're not trying to get like a short yardage situation. I don't know what the hell that was, but later in the game, he looked a lot more
I thought that was Mixon. You talking about the play where jumped?
Each guy
did it Pierce.
Once.
Okay. Mixon did it at the goal line. Pierce did it like on first and 10.
Yeah, I remember he offensive lineman's legs like picked him up in the air, and yeah, it was...
the only answer I had to the Dameon Pierce, because that was really funny, I think that he is just a bull in a china shop. Like, he just, mm-hmm.
That's the way he runs.
Yeah, he's just so, like, aggressive and in your face and intense. That's just kind of who he is. He plays with his hair on fire.
And that's what I was talking about, but I think that something clicked with him later in the game where it looked like he had that kind of pause. Like, if it wasn't there, he kind of took a quick, you know, jab step and stopped a minute and then was able to create some positive yardage. We know, like, on the one where the CJ dumped it off because he was under duress and he was behind the line of scrimmage on a screen pass, but he's so strong and he keeps his legs going that he got, like, a yard and a half. You know he can get that. It's just that sometimes he's so hell-bent on the hole has to be here, I have to go there. And I thought later in the game he kind of relaxed a little bit.
I was listening to the press conferences today, and they had three players, which the three players that they gave the media were like guys that they normally don't. They gave him Dameon Pierce. They gave him Nevelle Hewitt because he played a little bit yesterday. And then Kalen Bullock, who people are still mispronouncing his last name, which I'm on a crusade to fix that because I am a roadblock for justice. they said that Dameon Pierce is his philosophy and that what they're trying to get him to do more of is run through the smoke. Like, it might not look like there's a hole there, but like, this is what you're supposed to do. Just do it. Just trust it. Be instinctive. Like, stop thinking a whole lot. And look, one game isn't enough to like change the conversation we've been having for a year plus now with Dameon Pierce, because last year he was not good with this running scheme. He was not good at finding holes. He didn't look like he was decisive with his where he was cutting and the holes that he was running into. I did think he was better at it yesterday. Like, let's see that going forward. Let's see it against better defenses. But I was encouraged. Like, it did look better than what we saw even in the first game before he got the injury.
Yeah, no, that was the biggest thing to me, is that you can tell he's fully healthy, but I think that maybe he's finally understanding, like, systematically, there is a different way that can work for him. And by the end of the game, I felt a lot, because early in the game, I was like, oh, man, I know that everybody loves to sing his praises. I'm just not seeing it. And then by the end of the game, I was like, okay, well, you know, maybe there's a chance that you have, you know, more than two running backs. You have all four running backs that are capable of helping you, but you've got another guy to add to the mix that can do some things to be effective when you don't want to overplay Joe Mixon right away and spell him, because Cam really was an afterthought until the end of the game.
I think you touched it, what, twice, and they were all in garbage
time?
You
got two carries, minus 1 yard.
Every time that they showed either one of the running backs going over to the sidelines, Cam was sitting there with, like, a parka on, just, you know, rah-rahing them on, but he didn't look like he was even going to play till the garbage time.
Yeah, Cam Akers is death at this point, and I'm okay with that. And, like, credit to the Texans too for making that call, because, you know, we weren't the only one saying it. It seemed like 70% of the city was Cam Akers is RB number two. No, I'm good with Cam Akers being the fourth running back.
And I think the key too was when Dare touched the ball, we know he can pass block, we know he can catch some balls in the pass game, but they gave him a couple carries and he was not bad. I mean, that shows you more to the offensive line that there were holes to be had. He got positive yardage, that he can actually, a couple of times a game, you know, kind of give you a change of pace.
And I think I do put a lot of what happened yesterday to the offensive line, not to take credit away from the running backs, but I don't know if you guys noticed this too, but early in the game, the running game wasn't working. There was several times early in the first quarter where they were running up guys' backs, getting stuff before they got to the line of scrimmage, but somewhere late second half or early third quarter, it clicked, and then the run game just exploded and dominated the Patriots the rest of the game. It feels like the offensive line finally was able to impose their will.
Yeah, I don't think that they were, like, bad, though. I would agree that it improved and it got better. But even, like, whenever it was slow early in the game, I thought it was still an improvement over where it's been.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that in a lot of cases, Mixon's, you know, he's all hyped up. He might even be a guy that early in the game was, like, too jacked up, trying to hit the hole too quickly, and he got kind of backed up. But I think that the line, when you go back and look at it and see the kind of holes that they were opening up, and even the tight ends when they were chipping and when they were coming in motion and they were doing what they needed to do, aside from one tight end that I'm sure we're going to get to, even him, he was at least putting his body in between the runner and a defender. But I thought that the blocking overall was pretty solid all day.
And the fullback, Kendra Green.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
Kendra Green was the fullback that DJ Bianema was alluding to.
I guess
to.
Offensive lineman, but
it was an offensive
there
lineman.
There you go.
It was. Dalton Schultz is fullback one. His days were short. He was limited. He was benched as fullback one for Kendra Green.
Whatever works. He might be benched other places if he keeps playing the way he's playing.
I don't know about that. There's no.
I mean, I don't know what you can go to, but boy, he's frustrating as hell to watch.
713-780-ESPN. The Texans did take their foot off the gas yesterday, but there's something that I liked about it. Tell you what that was. We'll take your we'll get your input on yesterday's game as well. 713-780-3776, the HRP listener line. It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. One more game tonight in week 6, and then you have a full slate of games coming up in week 7. So it's me to tell you about my favorite sportsbook and casino, and that's BetUS.com. That's where you need to be making your plays, is BetUS.com. Football is into the thick of their season, and it's time to get in on the action if you have not already. Maybe your money's already out on one of the other places. That's why you should get on BetUS, because you can get a 125% sign-up bonus on your first 3 deposits. You know that I only endorse one sportsbook and casino. That's BetUS. If you want a game plan to win this season, check out BetUS. They went large for you this season with a huge offer. A 125% sign-up bonus on your first 3 deposits. That's right, a 125% bonus on your first 3 deposits. BetUS offers value other sportsbooks simply do not. Gambler's insurance, crypto bonuses, casino bonuses, plus they have all the products you need. Competitive odds, parlays, live betting, odds boost, and prop betting. When you're ready to lay down your bet, give your bet an edge. Why not combine your sign-up bonus with knowledge? Get that knowledge with expert analysis, picks, and predictions on all major sports on their very own BetUS TV. Get started today, BetUS.com, or give them a call at 1-800-MY-BETUS. BetUS, where the game begins.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
You're
listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
3367, I once cleaned my whole apartment and all my shoes while on Adderall. I was after studying all night for an early AM final. No Adderall. I've already got it myself. Could be in trouble. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. Here's the encouraging thing that I liked from yesterday's game, despite the Texans taking their foot off the gas in the second quarter. Certainly not a good quarter. We'll get to some of that in a little bit. What I liked about it was two things, really. I really liked their response after it. Like, there's a lot of times whenever a team in that situation, it's like, okay, 14-0, we're up. It's time to get complacent, take our foot off the gas. Uh-oh, it's 14-7 at the half. Uh-oh, they've tied the game. Uh-oh, they're in front. And then it's like, uh-oh, we're boarding the plane with a loss. Like, they were like, okay, we didn't play well in the second quarter. We got to come out, our hair on fire again, and then, you know, make a statement. They did that. They ended up winning by 20. So I was encouraged by, yes, I don't want to see the letdown in the second quarter, but I was really encouraged by the response to what was a bad quarter. And then the other thing was, I like that they learned that lesson in victory. Like, so many times you learn that lesson, you know, a young team early in the season, you learn the lesson of we have to, you know, and D'Amico talked about it today, not scoreboard watch. You know, it can't be that we're up 14-0 and human nature sets in or letting our foot off the gas. We can't watch the scoreboard. It's about winning every single play. A coach speak, I get it. But that is true. So I like that they learned the lesson despite winning the game by 20.
Yeah, I think the big thing, too, and we're going to continue to see this progression as they go forward to hopefully that it continues. But we talked about the fact that they kind of got stagnant at halftime of a lot of games. They didn't make a lot of in-game adjustments, and things just kind of went south or weren't as good as it was, and no matter how bad it was getting in the end of the first half. Second half, they just didn't look very good. They came out of the gates the second half, and they just made two statements on defense. They just basically said, nope, not today. We're not going to let that happen. And the next thing you know, they're turning the ball over. They're getting in the backfield. They're shutting down the Patriots and letting them know, not today, not now, not against us.
Yeah. So I was encouraged by that. That was something that, like, a positive that I took from a negative, because so many times you have a negative and it's like, oh no, now it starts to snowball. Now it starts to avalanche, and that's never good. So I was encouraged by that. The penalties, 4 penalties, 38 yards. And look, every crew is going to officiate games differently. Like, a 4 penalty game with this crew might have been a 7 penalty game with somebody else, might have been a 1 penalty game with somebody else. But you can't really factor that in. They got away with one that was very egregious, the face mask on Antonio Gibson, which was right before a turnover. I think it might have been the Neil Hunter strip sack that forced the fumble. Very clear face mask that they got away with. So it could have very easily been 5 penalties. There was one that looked to me like the Texans were offside. Like, they were in the neutral zone when the ball was snapped. So it could have very easily been 6 penalties there. But the end result is really all that matters. And whenever you have a 4 penalty game for 38 yards, when you have been one of the most penalized teams in the NFL, I tip my cap. I say that's a job well done. Well,
I think the other thing is that the majority of the penalties, when they were stacking and racking tons of them, were on the offensive line. And the fact that we were talking about defensive penalties and a taunting penalty that was total BS after the Diggs touchdown, instead of talking about the offensive line. So that, in a nutshell, coupled with the fact that the offensive line was really good, especially in the run game, gives you hope that, yes, it took a couple of weeks, but that they addressed it, that they are done with it, and that going forward, we're not going to see the same kind of mistakes on the offensive line. The defensive penalties, they're going to happen. You know, you're going to have these kind of things from aggressive play. There was 2 on Murray back-to-back, I think, that they were, where you look at him again and you're like, the hands to the face was questionable. Yeah, there was the first one he probably earned. But overall, they were on the defensive side, not where they were stacking them up, you know, for the majority of the season on the offensive line.
Yeah, so I was encouraged by the penalties. And then the last note that I have, Kalen Bullock looks like the real deal. Looks like the real deal to me. Texans found him in the third round. You know, the intercepted pass, like, right spot, right time. Like, he didn't make this tremendous play, but hey, he got it, right? So you have to give him credit for picking off the pass. That was probably more on, like, a bad throw by Drake May than it was this brilliant play by Kalen Bullock. And then Bullock again, right spot, right time on the fumble recovery after Azeez Al-Shaair punched it out. Great play by Azeez Al-Shaair. But I'm very comfortable with Kalen Bullock being one of my starting safeties. I would go as far to say that, like, he's going to have some missed assignments. He's going to have some bust. He is a rookie. I think he's their most talented safety. Like, at this stage of their career, I think it's pretty easy.
Yeah,
he's more talented than Murray and Jimmy Ward at this stage. Whenever he's not hurt, he's old.
Right. No, I completely agree with that because of the fact that he's still getting better, too. And when you look at it, the one thing that I really liked that I noticed was he brought the wood. I mean, he likes to tackle. He'll put his nose in there, and there's a couple times he made some really loud, impactful hits. And you're like, wow, was that a linebacker? No, that was Bullock shooting through and putting his pads on somebody to where a lot of safeties, you know, depending on, you know, strong versus free safety, that you question, you know, how much do they really want to put their nose in and hit people? He seems to really like to hit people, and he can do it.
Yeah, I'm a fan. I like what the Texans did in this draft. You know, Lassiter, I think, has been really good for a second rounder. You go back to whenever he was drafted, oh, he's not fast enough. He's going to play, you know, inside. He's not going to be a boundary corner. He's been the boundary corner for every single snap prior to yesterday's game. And then Bullock, you find him in the third round. He's arguably your best safety already. So credit to Caserio for finding him, and then credit to the defensive coaching staff and D'Amico for coaching him up and being ready.
And then if you want to just talk about the draft specifically, but a Fisher that was supposed to be a work in progress that we're really going to see next year, he's been called to duty because of injury on both sides. Yeah, he started out pretty rough, but at least he's been serviceable to where they see a guy that had enough talent that maybe they can develop, that he can become better and better in the next year or so.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Angel from Dayton, you're in the Hive of the Bees.
Hey, guys. I just had a quick question for you guys. Last week, heard y'all talk about the Texans and the potential of going either 2-2 with Nico Collins being out. After yesterday's dominating win, how do y'all see them going now? 4-0, 3-1, 2-2, or like B-Mac thought last week, 1-3? Thank you.
Angel, appreciate the call. I don't think that this changed my opinion at all because of the fact that you played a team you were supposed to beat. I think the two teams that are really going to be the barometer for you are going to be the game next week against Green Bay and then the game against the Jets to see, because I expect you to win the other two games. So those are the games that would really kind of change. I'm hoping they go 2-2. I believe they can go 2-2. I would love to see them go 3-1. I think that because of the fact that you are playing a team next week that, a lot like you, a lot of people had high expectations for at the start of the year, and also because of the fact that they're in the same division as a team that throttled you and is the only blemish on your schedule, I think for both teams, this is, from a Green Bay perspective, how good have they become since they lost to Philadelphia, and that can they show what they can do? And then from more specifically from a Texans standpoint, you're playing a team that in the NFC was looked at to be somewhat of a playoff team. Now, show me what you've learned from the Minnesota game, and show me how much more improvements you've made since Minnesota.
It doesn't really change a whole lot whenever you're looking at the four games that Nico Collins is going to be, you know, on the IR and the minimum game he's going to face, other than you banked it. Like, you banked the one. You thought that, like, you know, in Brian's case, going 1-3, yeah, that it was an automatic win, or mm-hmm, you were going to, you know, that was the easy one. But now you have it banked. Like, you've stored it. Now you're 1-0. Now you're looking at the next three games. And you were probably already there, but it wasn't a guarantee. There's always a 10% chance that somebody's bluffing, said the great Dan Harrington. It doesn't change my mind. I thought minimum 2-2. I think there's a chance they can go 3-1. So I'm right there. The Colts' defense is atrocious. I don't think the offense has dropped off a whole lot, even though Nico Collins could arguably be the best receiver in the NFL. That said, you do have to throw in the caveat that the Patriots' defense is not good.
Yeah, no, and I think the key going forward, too, is just like we were talking about. The same way we saw a get-right game yesterday, we want to see now that against a better opponent, you can still carry over a lot of this stuff. You can still run the football. Your offensive line can do what it needs to do, no penalties, and be able to keep CJ upright and open up holes for your running game. The defense, because you're not just playing the Patriots, can you still get home? Can you still, you know, get in the backfield? Can you make things happen? Those are the progressions now against a better team that will make me feel better about the fact that I'm comfortable saying I think they should go 3-1 in this four game stretch, but that will change my opinion. I'd love to see 2-2, and I'd be okay with it.
Yeah, Brian, 1-3. What do you feel about that?
I have changed a little bit. I not on the board with Joel as far as 3-1, but I do now think the Colts game is a win. As you said, Jeremy, the Colts defense is just gross at this point. It doesn't seem like Jonathan Taylor is any closer to getting back. So I think the Texans win that game. I'm still kind of skeptical on how they do against Green Bay and the Jets, especially since both are on the road. But I think this Texans team, even without the explosiveness of Nico, which to me was the big difference I saw on the offense, just the down-the-field stuff, I think they could beat the Colts even without him.
Yeah, the down-the-field stuff, I think you're going to throw a lot of that out the window whenever you take a 14-0 lead.
That's part of it.
So, like,
sure.
The game script, I'm not saying that it's going to be there, but I'm saying I don't know if it's not there, if you catch what I'm saying.
No, I'm with you. I'm 100%.
And, like, we've seen these guys be explosive in the past. Maybe not Diggs at this stage of his career, but Tank Dell can be explosive. And we're saying they're not explosive, mixing in a 59-yard run and Damian Pierce at a 54-yard run. Now against a bad defense. The Jets, too, like when you play the Jets, I don't know what they're going to be. Like, are they going – like right now they're a dumpster fire.
Yep.
It could get worse. It could get worse in New York. Or are they going to fix everything in a short period of time? Because, like, the Jets one's probably the wild card when you're talking about the record in the four games that Nico Collins is guaranteed to miss because you just don't really – know what the Jets are going to be at that time because they've gone through so much because they fired their coach. They have a lot of new players, Aaron Rodgers coming off the injury, and they've been really stinking bad so far.
But at the same time, we've talked about this too. When there's a coaching change made, that first week can be the one where the team just feels like there's a new blood infused into the locker room and everybody comes together, and they could beat Buffalo. They could be tied for first place. But really what it's going to be, what is going to define them is going after that game, regardless of the outcome. If they have another letdown, if they continue to be a bad offensive team that just is trying to rely on their defense, then they may never come close to being the team that a lot of people thought they'd be at the start of the year. Whereas Green Bay, whether you believe they're, you know, can compete for the NFC in a Super Bowl, or you just believe that they're a playoff team, there's enough talent on that team to where that's going to be a really good barometer for you to say, okay, against a much better team than the Patriots, if we're still able to, because I don't think you have to have a guy that just necessarily you go deep right away. But I think if they continue to do this with the running game, they get chunks. If they continue to make sure that with Tank and with Diggs, that they're getting good significant yardage, at a certain time, the safeties are going to start to come up. They're going to start trying to take away those kind of in-between routes. That's when you can maybe take the top off the defense and see one of those two guys, if not both of them, can get behind the defense.
Yeah, I mean, Tank had a lot of big plays last year. I think that he's capable of the big play. I really don't have much doubt that he's capable of a big play. Dalton Schultz almost called a 30-yard touchdown pass yesterday, too. So, like, I think that it's there. Obviously, it takes a hit whenever it's not Nico, because Nico is maybe one of the best at it.
I think who you're playing from a secondary standpoint and how they play you also plays into it. Now, Green Bay's got good safeties, and they've got one of the best corners in the NFL. So it's going to be interesting against that level of defense what those receivers are able to do.
All right, I'm done with my notes. Y'all have anything? Anything else you want to add before we get to the negative side of the show?
I think a lot of my notes are on the negative side, so we could carry this over.
I think the big thing for me just is the fact that Tank, we see what kind of weapon he was last year and he can be again. I think that as everything was sorting out offensively and then he was hurt, that you look at it and say, Tank was underutilized so far this season, but you can see Tank, whether Nico's in or out, is a weapon that they have to make sure is part of every game plan. He's so dynamic in so many ways.
Yeah. I'm a big Tank guy. Go Cougs. All right, do not ignore in victory what you wouldn't in defeat. What are you not ignoring from yesterday's win that you wouldn't ignore if the Texans were to lose? 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Do not ignore in victory what you wouldn't in defeat. 713-780-3776. What are some things for the Texans' 20-point win yesterday on the road in Foxborough? First time they've ever done that. What are things that you're not ignoring in victory what you wouldn't in defeat? 713-780-3776. It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Blankers?
One of the first things, and Jeremy, I'll let you, after you watch the All-22, try to validate this further, but one of the things that I noticed watching the game a couple of times was that as good as Petrie and Murray are on the line of scrimmage, and as good as they are aggressively with being able to wreak havoc and hit hard and do things, that both guys have struggled. They struggle in coverage mightily, and whether it's the slot receivers or the tight ends, that they seem to get whatever they want. And if you've got a more accurate quarterback, that they can really exploit that in the Texans' defense. And that's something that I'm going to really be kind of watching when they play a better team like Green Bay, is the fact that Green Bay loves to utilize the tight end. They've got a multitude of receivers, that especially the guys in the slot, that you have to pay attention to. And I'm curious on the coverage with both of those guys involved.
Yeah, they're specifically when they play man, that's where they can get beat. Especially, I think without Lassiter too, maybe that second corner spot. But the Patriots don't really have the boundary receivers that can beat you, with one very notable exception from yesterday's game. But no, they scare me in coverage too. I don't think Petrie's a very good coverage guy. Mm-hmm. Now he can get by whenever you're facing slots or average. DeMario Douglas is somebody that I do like. I think I've mentioned that on the show in the past. Like, he's somebody who has caught my eye. I think that he would be much better, obviously, in a much better offense. I'm really curious to see what he does with Drake May. Like, he had a big game yesterday. Now, was that the Drake May boost? Was that the fact that he was being covered by Jalen Petrie? Probably a combination of them both. Eric Murray got beat really bad on a little drag over the middle of the field. Petrie one time bit on play action on a first and goal, and then left, I think it was Hunter Henry, wide open on a busted coverage there. But no, I'm with you. I think that the secondary, especially those two, and maybe corner number two, depending on mm-hmm. who's mm-hmm. playing at the time and who you're playing, those are areas where I need to see if the Texans can excel in. Because I'm not sure that they've played a quarterback yet that has exposed them for that. Like, they've had a couple of busted coverages and allowed big plays. Like, Brian Thomas had the big play, but it was never consistent. Trevor Lawrence didn't beat you consistently. In fact, missed a bunch of big throws. Josh Allen was awful against you, 9 for 30, missed a bunch of big throws. Caleb Williams, early in his career, was not making those throws yet. So they have not faced a team/quarterback who has exposed their secondary, but I think that it could be coming, because they've had a bunch of missed opportunities, quarterbacks playing the Texans for deep chunk plays that just were overthrown or underthrown, whatever the case may be. And then they've also had some big plays on just simple drags where Jalen Petrie or Murray get beat man-to-man. So I'm with you on that.
I think the big thing, too, is LaFleur. He's really good in his offensive scheme and game plan when he sees something like that, to where Jordan Love doesn't have to be pinpoint accurate. He just has to get the ball to the right guy, and that's something that they have to pay attention to, especially this week.
Yeah, and not even as a this week thing. Yes, it matters this week, but it's more to, like, how they fare this week is going to kind of help me form my opinion if they're super serious as a deep playoff contender. Because if Jordan Love and Jordan Love has tons of weapons, if Jordan Love picks them apart in Lambeau, it's like, okay, this secondary, because right now the Texans, like, third in DVOA, I think they're top three in defensive yards allowed per game. It looks like they have one of the better defenses in the NFL. I don't think they faced a team quarterback that has really beaten them through the air yet. This will be, I think, the biggest challenge so far. Although the Allen challenge could have been big, they handled that well. If they get exposed by Jordan Love, I'm going to change my opinion on how deep of a run the Texans could take.
Yeah, and that's the key, too. I think you hit on it. It's the fact that when you played an above-average quarterback in Allen, who played below average. The guys that were supposed to be above average, Trevor Lawrence, regardless of what you think of him, he's supposed to be an above-average quarterback, and he missed deep shots. And then you had all the young guys. It's going to be in this next stretch, starting a stretch where we talked about all year long, the quarterbacks you face probably aren't going to miss those throws like the guys you've played so far.
At least not consistently.
Right.
Like, I mean, so many times we've seen that as on a consistent basis where the secondary has allowed those openings to be there, but the quarterbacks the Texans have played have not been able to capitalize on that. And I would push back on the Josh Allen thing a little bit to say, hey, look, there's a defense that forced him to play bad. There's a defense that forced him to go 9 for 30. Like, it wasn't Josh Allen against air. I mean, the Texans' defense have to be factored into the equation there as well.
No doubt. We're talking about a deep ball or two that, you know, he's supposed to make those throws. Mm-hmm. He's supposed to complete those throws.
For sure.
Yeah, and adding to that, I mean, it's not just the quarterback. When you look at a lot of these matchups, the first time you face the Colts, they don't have Josh Downs. You face the Bears, they don't have Keenan Allen. And then, obviously, the Patriots and the Bills are lacking at wide receiver talent, although I do like DeMario Douglas as well. It'll be interesting for this Packers matchup, especially if they don't have Kamari Lassiter back. We'll find out later in the week. But you're facing, for the first time, I think, the combination of an opponent who not only has a quarterback that can beat you, but has more talented wide receivers than you have talented coverage guys in the secondary. I mean, with Christian Watson healthy, with Jaden Reed, we saw Romeo Doubs finally show back up. He catches two touchdown passes. And obviously, Da'Tavion Wicks has had a couple big games both this year and last year. This is the first time I think the Texans are facing the challenge of the combination of not only a quarterback that can beat you, but maybe more wide receiver targets, and not even throwing in Tucker Kraft at tight end, great coverage guys you have. Because, you know, like we've talked about, Murray and Petrie, great around the box, but if you spread them out, force them covering man, that could be a problem against the Packers.
Musgrave's out. Kraft, he's been dealing with a groin injury.
Well, they faded Musgrave out anyway.
But he's played, and when he plays extremely well, and they love to utilize the tight end. And then from a running game perspective, Josh Jacobs is tough. So, yeah, they're going to be tested in terms of a full complement of skill players next week.
My biggest concern's Reed, because I think that they're fine outside. I think where they can really struggle is inside. So Reed's the one that concerns me the most. How the Texans, and it's too early to be talking preview radio on a Monday, but how they play Jordan Love will be interesting to me, because I think it's bad. It's a bad idea, bad game plan if the Texans are like, we're going to be man-to-man versus the Packer weapons. But Jordan Love's a lot worse against the blitz than allowing him time and allowing him to pick apart a zone coverage. So it's kind of like you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. If you sit there and you blitz and you're running man-to-man, now you're at the exposure of getting beat by the Packers' skill set, which are very good. If you don't do that, I think it puts your secondary in a better chance, but Jordan Love's going to have more of an opportunity. So one of the things that I'm very looking forward to 6 days from now is how the Houston Texans defend it, whether they go a lot of zone, because they usually are a zone team. They haven't really been the last 2 weeks because they feel like they could have, you know, gotten pressure on Allen. They don't trust his accuracy, gotten pressure on a young quarterback, didn't trust his accuracy, which was true for the most part, did allow a couple of explosive plays. I don't know if that's going to be the same game plan with Jordan Love.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I think that the key to beating Jordan Love has been to put pressure on him, to get to him, to give him happy feet or make him make quicker decisions. And that's where you can get to Jordan Love. So that's going to mean you're going to. And Reed did get hurt. So I don't know what his status is going to be next week.
I thought
week.
It was Wicks the one that got hurt.
Reed got hurt too. I don't know if it's going to be a lingering thing or he just. Because I wasn't watching that game as attentively. I just know that he came out. But I don't know what the extent will be. But that, it is going to be a good test for this entire defense.
Yep. 713-780-ESPN. What are you not ignoring in victory that you wouldn't in defeat? 713-780-3776. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.